Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 to put you in queue to talk to Michael. We'd love to hear from you, hear your questions, your answers. We have a whole lot of people that are doing the 40 days at 5 a day, and so we'd love to hear how your process is going. If you're one of those, give us a call in. Today is March the 1st. Man, time flies. And this is Memorial Day Celebration 277. And we welcome you to the show. Hello, Michael.
Hi, sweetie. Welcome, everybody, to the show. We are delighted to be here with you. I'm looking at sunny blue skies and a few clouds. It's absolutely beautiful. We hold a blessing for everybody that's been going through these storms and tornadoes up in the Midwest. Blessings on you all. We certainly hold the space of safety and support for each of you for what you're going through and healing. Memorial Day celebration, what's that about? Well, we have a plan, and our plan is to put an end to war on planet Earth, which, of course, every rational person would say that's an impossibility, but we're not rational people. We're choosing to live in a different world. Some would say an insane world. But, you know, I watch a lot of insane people, that is, people without the presence of love in their lives, who come and take a look at this work and say, you know, I'm going to give this a try. And all of a sudden, they become sane. They have a life that's filled with love. I was talking to a man yesterday who was started to do this work about a month ago here in the Tampa area. And he said, you know, this morning, this is a man who's been through hell. He's been in prison through several just crazy things. And last night at our workshop, he said, you know, I woke up this morning and I was happy. He said, I don't remember ever doing that before. So some people may call us insane, but I'd offer that. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. And that awesome presence of love is what we are designed to live out of. Everything else is a state of hypnosis. Everything else is insanity. And we're here to put an end to insanity by offering a wake-up call and offering tools for embodying your human life and getting rid of all forms of hostility or fear, which, of course, the rational world was absolutely impossible. Well, my offering to you is it's not impossible. It's not only possible, but it's inevitable. And if you choose to be part of the team that changes the world, then here's what you're going to do. You're going to pick up the reality management forgiveness worksheet process, and you're going to start to do it. And as you do it, you will find yourself deleting from your body-mind unit all forms of hostility or fear. Now, you might remember back, oh, probably 6 months ago, Terry was driving to from Theodosia, Terry Bowling, who's a dear friend who came and spent a couple of years at Heartland. His family's been doing the work for a long time. A lot of drama and trauma in his world, a lot of pain, a lot of just crazy stuff, which Terry shared with us. I'm not telling any stories out of tools or stories out of school. But Terry called in about 6 months ago when he was driving from Heartland to Asheville, and he had stayed in a hotel that night partway through his journey. And he said for the first time in his memory, he woke up and he could feel the presence of love in every cell of his body. Now, I talked to him a few weeks later and asked him about that. He said, well, gee, I haven't been doing that lately. I forgot about that. And one of the specialties of what we call the non-being mind, the hostility and fear-based mind, is to have us forget. Well, we're here to support you in remembering. Remembering that if you're in hostility or fear, you're lost in something that isn't necessary and it isn't true, and it's time to undo it. And the way of undoing it is called forgiveness. So on our website, which is whyagain.com, on the right-hand side, there's a link that says download worksheets. If you go to that link, the first five links under that section will give you a whole set of tools, a whole how to forgive. And it's got nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook because there's pain inside of you. Forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself and change the root of your pain. And it is doable. I don't care what's happened in your life. It doesn't matter how terrible the things are that you've done or how terrible the things are that have been done to you. It can be changed. So we're here to support you changing it. Jeannie, do we have any callers? Anything happening in the chat room?
We do have a caller with their hand up. It's area code 917. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Give us a name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Svetlana, and I'm calling from Massachusetts. Snowy, Massachusetts.
Well, Svetlana.
Yeah.
I think you're the first person in my life I've met with the name Svetlana. That's a very cool name.
Yeah. I have a question. Do you do any advice on, like, natural supplements or anything like that?
Not something I really get into a whole lot. My background's in naturopathic medicine. What I do suggest to people is that you don't count on supplements for your nutrition. You count on good, solid, organic food, things that actually grow in the ground. And if you're going to use supplements, what I suggest is, as opposed to buying something that was brewed in a chemical vat and is probably an oil product, synthetic oil product, its atomic structure changed around, a molecular structure changed to look like a vitamin, that you actually buy food vitamins that are based in whole foods. That's really about as far as I go with my input in that regard, is to buy whole food-based vitamins. I know there are several manufacturers out there now that do it. There's one called Raw that makes some pretty good products. There's another one called Rainbow Light.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really about as far as I go in terms of supplementation.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've
You wouldn't do any advice over the phone, right?
No. No, it's not something I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
All right.
Rainbow Light and Raw, right?
Rainbow Light and Raw are two of the better supplement products that I know of. And
okay, that sounds good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Appreciate
your
call. Okay, blessings.
Thanks.
Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have something to share with us of your process or a question about any of the tools that we teach. If you need support for using the tools, our purpose is to be here to support you. We'd love to hear your sweet voice, and we'd love to hear your questions, your thoughts, your answers, your ideas. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room?
No, there's nothing else right now. Tim and David are both with us, so you might say hello to them.
Awesome. Welcome, Tim and David. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing wonderfully, thank you. I'm not sure that you were aware that I was on the show yesterday, Michael, but we were talking about the support group and the wonderful testimonial from the person who did the worksheet last week, and I think you were doing an interview with somebody, so you missed the first part of the show, but that went very well, and just rocking along.
Cool. It is so exciting to watch how people who believe it's impossible, they're stuck in a family system and a cultural system based in rage and fear and grief and pain, and their families they've recreated to produce the same, and all of a sudden they become aware that it's possible to do something different. And it is such an awesome blessing to get to assist people to make that shift into the true existence of a human life, to function out of their human lives. It's just, it's so cool to watch. So much fun. Any particular new insight for you, Dr. Tim, in your working with people and bringing the tools forward?
Well, I think one of the big things that is happening more in my practice is that people are coming in with aches and pains and leaving without them. And it happened yet again a couple times last week. And I think part of it is that if I just keep doing the worksheets and I keep clearing up my resistance to what is possible, this was part of the conversation that evolved during the group on Tuesday. The gentleman who did the worksheet last week was doing a worksheet on someone who had trashed the apartment he was renting. And this resulted in loss of money and time for the person in our group who had to fix up this apartment before he could rent it again. And he tapped into a lot of anger during the worksheet process. Well, the day before yesterday, he came back to the group and he said, the weirdest thing happened Wednesday when he went back to the apartment to keep working on it. His tenant came and asked him, where were you last night? You said you were going to a class. What kind of class was it? And the person from our group who had just done the worksheet about all this rage he has at this tenant had a 45-minute conversation with him about the kind of group it was, the worksheet process, the anger that he had at what his tenant had done to ruin his the walls in the apartment and cost him all this money. And he said, I never would have imagined that I could have had a conversation like that with this man who was responsible for damaging the apartment. And he said, the guy got it, and he was thankful that I shared it with him. And the person who was in the group was moved to tears when he was sharing it with us in the group. So I have no idea of knowing how moved he was a week earlier when he had the confrontation with his tenant. But he got very clear through the worksheet process, and then again his conversation with the tenant the next day, that the anger he was feeling wasn't about the tenant. So a lot of good deep work was done there. And that's what I've been seeing more and more in my practice, is that as people really get this and look inside, shifts happen so powerfully, energetically, that it's really starting a ripple effect to people around them. And it's just it's amazing.
There's an awesome thought. I have several favorite thoughts from The Course in Miracles, and this is one of my most favorite ones, and it says, there is no place so holy upon the earth as a place where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. And most people who feel rage and hatred and anger toward others, or think they think is toward others, have no idea how ancient that hatred is, how far back it goes, and how deeply it affects their tissue structure. It is literally the chemistry in the cell that destroys the cell. It is literally the cause of all pain. We live in this society where we've had our intellects figure out a way that we can pretend that what we do with our minds has nothing to do with what happens in our bodies. and the cell biologists are showing us that when you think a thought, that thought literally produces a molecule that's called a neuropeptide, and that neuropeptide becomes a literal chemical in the cell when it lands on a cell. And so we're starting to understand again. We're overcoming the insanity of the so-called scientific approach to life that lives in so much denial. Why would science, these genius minds, why would they live in such denial? Because there are so many ancient hatreds within them, individually, personally, that they just can't fathom how they could go inside and deal with those things. And so they create this separation. They cut themselves off. And it's called science. And I'd offer it is not science to cut yourself off from the deepest parts of your own being, nor is it a scientific approach to cut yourself off from living as the active presence of love. And so as we restore that, a new science shows up, a new way of functioning as a human becomes not only possible but inevitable, and ancient hatreds become present loves. And if you're caught in a situation, anybody that's listening, if you're in a situation where you think, oh, you know, My spouse is the cause of my pain, my rage, my hatred, my vengeance, my child, my parent, my neighbor, the Iranian over in Iran, the Iraqi in Iraq. If you think that someone else can cause something to happen inside of you, I offer you're insane. That is, you're functioning without the intelligent mind that you were given by the Creator at your conception, and that is the mind of love, the mind of your human beingness. And it's time for us all to be restored to our human beingness. And as we do that, we restore our cells to health, our organs to function, our lives to the joy, the delight, the awesome presence of love that we were designed to be. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, I would love to have a conversation with you. If there's an area in your life where you say, Michael, that's ridiculous. You don't know what Charlie did. You know, I hear what you're saying, and okay, Charlie, you know, Charlie did this horrible thing, and you know, it's all his fault, and therefore, you're crazy, Rice. Well, I would offer that. I agree with you. Charlie did an awful thing. And when Charlie did that awful thing, it resonated some pain in you. And you can stay in the pretense that your pain is about Charlie, or you can start to recognize that you've been through this particular pain 87 different times with 42 different people. It's yours. It's about you. And you can forgive it. You can remove it. And that's where we want to head into the removal. And David is with us. I hope he still can hear us and is listening. And David has been particularly challenged. If you're kind of recent to the show, you may not know who David is. He's the director at Heartland, the property manager at Heartland. He's actually known by lots of different names. And he was challenged about 2.5 years ago with a son at the age of 40 who just fell over from a heart attack. And some just huge challenges in that. And then at the age of, I believe, 38, a second son last year who passed away suddenly. And he's been doing awesome work within his family system. Just came back from a couple of weeks with family there, challenging people to get out of the family pattern and into living as human beings, into living as love. So, David, I wonder if you have anything to share with us at this moment from the work you've been doing personally, the support you've been being with family members, and the kind of shifts. I'm looking for some input on some of the inspiration you've offered me as you've faced and stared down some of these hostilities, fears, griefs, and pains that you've worked through and supported others in doing the same. So, anything to share with us?
Thank you, Michael. Yes, as you were saying, that in the last 2.5 years, my oldest son, who was 39, and then my second oldest son, who my oldest son on September the 9th of a little better than 2 years ago, and he died suddenly. And then my second son, who was 36, this past September the 18th, within, he died abruptly as well. And as I've explained to you and to most people, and there's a lot of expression of sympathy towards what I'm experiencing, what my family is experiencing, and people often ask me how I'm doing, and it just what I do my best at explaining is that it's challenged everything that I've ever believed and everything that I've ever held on to. It is, it still is from day to day a challenge for me to stay connected with my true essence, my true creative essence, and to see things for what they are and how they are going and evolving. As far as visiting and being with my family, what I have become conscious of is my need to, up until now in my life, about getting other people to see things a certain way or to be a certain way, that it's really all about my work, my inner work. And if that is my true intention and my true focus, then whatever it is that I'm saying and doing will always be a reflection outside of me. And what I've noticed is that with my family members, then our connectedness is at a level that I think when we were children. I come from a large family, and I am staying in connection with them more. And I get to recognize the love and the understanding and who it is that they are a little bit, although I can't really describe who it is that they are. I can only have the experience of the truth or the experience of love. And I think that it's ongoing for me each day. And, you know, to define as it getting better, as some people have expressed to me, I don't know what better would be. I've let go of, in lots of ways, though it may sound like that I'm figuring things out, I've let go of the need to figure it out and to have an understanding of it. For that, it's more about me experiencing and letting go of any anger or hostility or sadness or grief, and at the same time to experience it, that the only way that I'm really able to let go of any of those feelings is to experience it and to process through it. I was thinking this morning about the language that you used, Michael, when you talked about your workshop, healing relationships, and then you changed it to healing through relationships. And I looked at that word through, that the real work is to work through everything, to work through, to have the experiences, to experience whatever that it is that's going on, and go through that to the next level or the next phase or whatever that may be. And this last couple of years with the death of my two sons, then going through experiencing the sadness, the grief, the anger, all of that that's coming up has challenged me to look at it and what it is that I hold within inside of me. When you talk about at the beginning of the program, to if we want to put an end to war, you know, how I look at it is that the only war that's really going on is the war that I have been going on with inside myself. And as simplistic as that may sound, and as simple as that may sound, is that when I do my healing, then there are spaces that open up to communicate and connect with people. And as you pointed out, I just returned from a two-week visit with my family members, with my daughter-in-law and my grandson, who from this latest death of my son Ryan, and my connection with my son Bradley and with his family and with my other grandson, then there's a total different experience of being with them. It's a genuine connectedness that has just opened up. And it's been a challenge, and that's part of the challenge, I think it is for everyone, not just myself, but to me. You know, there's always a grief process of anything, of holding on to something or letting go of something. And when it comes to having family members and people that are so close, then it really brings it right to the forefront with it. So this whole forgiveness and this whole process of letting go of whatever it is that I'm holding in my unconsciousness that has anything associated with fear or hostility, then it's time to let go of that and let it evolve and process through so that I can experience the true joy of being with people and to share a life in that way. That's what I'm going to do for me now.
Awesome. Well, it's certainly, you know, I have to offer you accolades, and we certainly hold the space for all that you've been challenged to go through in that family system and looking at all the dynamics that came with your genetics and relationship with your power person. And being a power person and walking through those things, it's certainly, you know, right, has been right in your face, and we acknowledge you for the work you've been doing in that regard. And Jeannie tells me that we have three callers, so let's talk to a caller and see what they have to say. Jeannie?
Area code 970.
970, you're on the air. What's the name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Michael and Jeannie, it is Carrie in Colorado.
Awesome. How is the weather in Colorado? Is it 75 degrees like it is here in Holiday, Florida?
No, it's sunny and it's blustery, but the air is fresh and clean. I know you love Florida. I love Colorado, so I guess, but I love being in Florida too, so it's all good. It definitely is nice being in the endless summer. I appreciate that. But I also appreciate things out here. I like the big, wide open spaces, and I guess it has to do with some things I've learned about myself, about how getting away and has always been part of my power person dynamic. And I think I got away to the West when I was young, and I can see how that's operated in so much of my life. So, you know, it's all in there in the soup with what drives us emotionally too. So everything that's been said today has just been so right on and interesting, of course, and I just wanted to say I affirm with you as an author, I'm an author of Super Immunity Secrets, that using whole concentrated foods is one of the best nutritional supports that there is. And B, my heart goes out to David, and as I having lost both my dad and a brother at relatively young ages, and there's always healing to do in those areas. I have a particular issue I've been working with that I just wondered if I could get a few insights from you on and see if you can point me in the right direction here.
I'll do my best.
Okay. This relationship that I was in recently, and certainly I'm still in relationship with the person, even though we're not really communicating with each other, I'm trying to just get to the depths in myself of what in me caused this certain particular thing to take shape the way that it did. And I'm digging down a little bit into my relationship with my dad and different things, but I haven't quite, I feel a little confused. And here's just in a nutshell, basically this guy that I was with, his second wife ended up having an affair and then for a year, and then came to him one day and said, I just don't want to be in this relationship anymore, and she was gone. And he and I met him after he was divorced from her, but he was still in mourning about that. And for probably the first 3 years I was with him, he was still kind of in love with her, which I can't say I was really excited about that. So it was something that I was wrestling with inside. So when he decided he didn't want to be in the relationship with me anymore, he didn't have an affair, although he, I think for quite a few months before that, he had been thinking about somebody else, and then just came to me one day and said, well, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And so I ended up moving out, and within a couple of days, he was dating somebody else, so who had been in the background the whole time. But anyway, I'm just trying to figure out what in me, I mean, did I cause that dynamic because I was resentful that he was still in love with this other person that had left him abruptly? So did I end up creating the same thing? Or, I know I have, like, a, you know, my dad was pretty, you know, he would just shut himself off to us when he was upset about something and kind of go into silence. And you felt pretty, I felt pretty abandoned. And throughout my childhood. So I guess I'm trying to figure out how to get through the maze of whatever is in here so that I can clear it.
Well, my first piece of input would be that when we're functioning out of this body-mind unit, this multi-generational database that carries all of the insanities of the generations, we look out through the contents of our minds for Mr. or Mrs. Right, and we will find somebody who has the matching bag of garbage. And so if I lived in relationship with a power person who, say, for instance, wasn't really there for me, then I'm going to look out through my own unconscious dynamics and call forward someone who has no capacity to be there for me, who's not emotionally available. So let's say that's the dynamic. So we call those relationships based in matching bag of garbage. The perfection of a relationship in matching bag of garbage is that you would be able to, through your matching bag of garbage, show him everything that he needs to deal with. And he will be able to show you everything you need to deal with. The classic way of dealing with that in this culture is through what we call projection communication. One of the workshops we do is communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And in projection communication, I make a picture in my mind out of you, or pardon me, of you, out of my content that you resonated me. So if you resonated me, the person who can't be emotionally available and you're not there for me, and I have all this pain from the dynamic with my power person of them not being emotionally available and there for me, then I will build a picture that shows me that you're to blame for my pain, and I will tend to rage at you for being the cause of my pain and bypass the whole internal process of the fact that my pain is internal. So that's the classic way. So person A has problem one. I've abandoned myself and my life and everybody around me. Person two has problem two, and that is I have pain about being abandoned. And so person two will blame person one for their feelings of abandonment, and person one will blame person two for the fact that they abandoned. Each one taking the contents of their own minds, sure that the problem and the causes outside of them are now rendered absolutely incapable to change the cause which is inside of them. So that's life without tools. There's a whole section in my book
called or a paragraph from my book about life without tools is hell. That's the bottom line of it. Now, once you acquire the tools, then instead of making my brain's image of you out of my dissociated content and being sure that you're the cause of it, I change my language, I change my thinking, and I recognize, gee, you know, I started out, I can remember, you know, that first little girlfriend that I had when I was seven in grade school, and I was so in love, and she ran off with Johnny and, you know, broke my heart. And so I'll take that pain, that dynamic of that, that young and tender age, and I have no idea what to do with it, so I dissociate from it. And that will tend to become the dynamic of my relationships until I go into my mind and clean that up. So what happens that allows us to clean that up is, here I am in relationship with you, and I recognize I've been through this one 87 different times with 42 different people, and I can even remember being that 7-year-old and being abandoned. And I can remember being 4 at the day that my mother raged at me, and to that point she had just embraced me totally in love, but whatever the stresses were in her life, all of a sudden she rages at me and I'm feeling abandoned. And I instead of denying and dissociating from all of that and projecting it, I become responsible for it. And in my current relationship, instead of saying, you know, you really caused me so much pain when you abandoned me like that, I enter into a conversation that looks more like responsibility. You know, it looks to me like you're exiting our relationship. And what comes up for me as I perceive, accurately or not, that you're exiting our relationship is I realize I have a lot of pain about abandonment. And so what I would like to do is to learn to be responsible for my pain, access it directly at the deepest levels, and work through it, let loose of it, let go of it, forgive it. And the forgiveness dynamic is the dynamic of going inside of myself and literally removing the very capacity to feel abandoned, no matter what anybody does. And as I do that, as a result of our interaction and our matching bags of garbage, I will heal myself because of your abandonment, if the fact is that you've abandoned me. And if you choose to enter into an adult responsible conversation, then you'll be able to say, instead of, you know, when you went into that rage about what you perceived me as abandoning, I realized that I felt terrorized. And, gee, I can remember when I was 3 and my father came home from work late one night. He was drunk and he pulled out a heavy leather belt and he just wailed on me and I was terrified. Now, as you go into that rage at me for abandoning, yeah, I realize why I abandoned, because I'm so terrified when somebody raises their voice and looks at me like that, that I just can't stay present. I have to exit. And my exit is at first verbal, then emotional, then mental, and then physical. And I'm out of here. Our relationship is over. If I'm an adult and communicating responsibly about that dynamic, then I'm going to say, and you know, I realize that this terror is something that comes from inside of me. It's not inflicted upon me by you, but it is something that you're really good at bringing up for me. So how about if we together choose to change the dynamic of our family systems, of our culture, and the next time I'm feeling terror and want to abandon, I'm going to speak up and say, you know, when you said thus and so to me, I wanted to leave. It brought terror up in me. And when I feel that terror, I just have to get out. I feel so closed in and so
like I'm not even going to be able to survive it. I can hardly breathe, and so I leave. And what I want to do is heal the part of me that wants to leave and the part of me that's in so much terror. So now by communicating responsibly, I get to see the part of me that was called in the ancient teachings the desert. You know, most people spend 40 years in the desert. Most people are at least 40 before they start to wake up and go, been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe it's about me. And so as we acquire the tools and the skills in our relationship, because of our perfectly matching bags of garbage, because you know exactly how to give me the look, because I know exactly how to inflict the right voice tone on you, each of us, if we move into adulthood and responsibility, gets to see the dissociated parts of our minds that have been going on in our family systems for 1,000 generations. And we get to move back to a human life together. We get to do something different. So to begin to disbelieve all the projections and to recognize if I'm feeling it, it's mine, I get to start to work through it. Now, that's not in common parlance in our culture because the tools for doing that are very uncommon. They're very rare to find them. In fact, I don't know anywhere else on the planet where we could be having this conversation except in the context of the teachings of the ancient Aramaic master named Yeshua, the guy who's popularly known as Jesus, but his name was not Jesus, the copy of a Greek god Zeus. The word Jesus is Hail Zeus, but rather he was an Aramaic teacher of forgiveness and of how to live a human life. I don't know where else we could have this depth of conversation except in the context of what he put together 2,000 years ago in his native Aramaic, and I personally feel so graced to have met that man on the ground of his native language and begun to understand the dynamics that he taught. All these dynamics that I'm speaking about the rage, about the grief, about the pain, about the fear, they actually have a suffix in the Aramaic language that they would add to a word like terror. You know, I'm functioning out of my terror, and I don't know what it is. I think you're the one who terrorizes me. They would add a suffix to that word if it were an Aramaic word, and the suffix would be uta, O-O-T-A. And so I would say, you know, to make the play on words, if I said terror uta, it would mean that the unconscious part of my mind, the dissociated part of my mind, is functioning out of terror. And that's controlling my perception, decisions, and behavior, and I have no idea that's what's going on. It's a totally unconscious dynamic. And that's what's running most of the world. They had the level of understanding of how to change those dynamics and had the tools for doing that in the Aramaic. Of course, the Greeks came along, the Greeks who they thought that people who could terrorize others and were experts at murder were doing service for their culture and were given medals for being great killers, which is pretty bizarre when you look at it. You know, anything within a context of an insane culture, anything that culture does looks reasonable. You know, I mean, I think we could safely assume that within the context of the ancient Hawaiian culture, sacrificing a virgin here and there to the goddess of the volcano was a rational, sane thing to do. It was considered to be normal, just like it's normal for us in this culture to rage at and abandon and function insanely and give up our human lives. And so the restoration of human life comes with the use of the tools. The Greeks had no clue how to do that, and most of what we see in this culture comes out of the Greek language and the Greek thought system. And it just doesn't describe what's really, truly possible for us as human beings.
That totally makes sense, and I love hearing that whole explanation again. It gives me more lights going on, of course, building more brain cells. And I guess being on my own and not able to have that conversation, I guess I'm just trying to find my way to the root of this and so I can free myself from obviously, I'm the one carrying around the pain. So as you always say, if I'm the one with the pain, then I must be the one with the problem. So I would like to, I'd like to access those crystals and kind of let go of them at this point. And I'm a little stuck on how to do that. I'm doing
so here's what you do. You walk through your life on a daily basis claiming your human beingness, the awesome active presence of love. And as you walk through your world and you, you know, walk by Charlene, who's standing over there by the bank, and she looks a little snooty to you, and you kind of curl your nose up and go, that's Charlene, boy, she's a dandy. I stop and go, what is it in me that would diss another human being instead of see the awesome presence of love that this human being is? Now, the non-being mind in myself would go, well, you know, look at her, just look at her clothes. She's obviously a floozy. She's sitting out there, you know, just hooking, looking for somebody to give her money for sex. And I say, okay, so let's assume that that's all true, and that may just be a projection. If I'm in some form of lower conversation toward her or some form of hostility toward her or what have you, and I recognize that, I stop, and that's where I forgive. That's where I drill down into. Now that I've had a stimulus for that part of my mind, that's where I drill down into that part of my mind and find the root of that hostility or fear. Now, I can only work through the depth of hostility or fear to the height of my vitality. So I'm going to have to, as you know, with the book you've written and the super immunity is a way of building vitality, I'm going to have to get to a higher level of vitality than the depth of my pain in order to be able to even directly access my pain. So I'm going to start acquiring the tools to do all of the above, and that's what empowers me to drill down into the hidden parts of my mind and empowers me to clean it up. So as I walk through the world, wherever I see even the slightest irritation, the slightest upset, there's my next piece of work. And as I do that, I don't have to directly be in a relationship with someone, you know, in an intimate relationship to do the work that we're talking about. Although certainly the minute that you intercourse with someone and therefore exchange genetics with them, they have access to your whole dissociated mind, the parts of your mind that you don't have access to, and you have access to theirs. So it's a perfect setup for taking the work to the next level. And so, you know, what I would suggest is that in looking to create relationship, you perhaps put out the idea. You know, when I met Jeannie, I met her through eHarmony.com about 7 years ago, and I put out a profile that said, I wanted somebody who wanted to play on the level of really being responsible for their lives and healing and doing some awesome work in the world. And so, you know, there's somebody out there who wants to play on that level with you. The sanest way I found to locate someone like that, because there aren't too many people around the next corner, I would imagine, especially out in the boonies in Colorado, who are ready to do that. So you might want to go on a larger venue and scope the globe out and hold the space for someone who's really ready to acquire the skills, acquire the tools, put them to work, and do the work of healing.
I like that. Secondly, what I'm understanding then is that as long as I'm doing this clearing with everything that comes up on a daily basis, I'm doing the forgiveness process, I am building better health in that area, so to speak, so that gradually I'll be able to release these deeper pains that I carry around. Is that right?
That's it. That's it. And ultimately, what you're going to want to do is set your relationships on a level where you can literally, or you're going to set your relationships to be willing to bring those things up or support you bringing those things up, and then you're going to develop the skill to be able to decode those things when they come up. A lot of people, you know, when they do a particular behavior, somebody will say, well, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know.
you know, I just did it. I don't know. And the reason that they don't know is because they're unconscious of their own internal dynamics and have no desire to learn to decode what's going on there. You know, you look at somebody and say, gee, you know, that looks like a big frown on your face. Is there something going on for you? Is there some way I can support? And they go, well, no, what are you talking about? There's nothing going on for me. And you listen to the harshness in their voice tone. And when you ask once again and they kind of puke on you, they have no ability. They just know that there is an energy of discomfort there. They don't want to look. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to even access it. But they behave out of it. That's those Uta brain cells. And it is a skill if you come from a family system that is in continuous dissociation, continuous hostility and fear, the ability to access, the ability to decode one's own internal information is next to impossible. And that would be analogous to, you know, I've got a computer, and many people will relate to, and my computer came up with a message that said, blah, 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 this was wrong. And I went, what the hell does that mean? I don't have a clue what they're talking about. I don't even know where to start. So that's someone who doesn't have the brain cells for decoding the problem that the computer just told them was going on. So what am I going to do? Well, if I want to let somebody else fix it, I'll take my computer to somebody else. But you can't let somebody else fix everything for you. You've got to learn to be responsible for yourself and develop the skills of decoding that part of your mind. And so what am I going to do with my computer? Well, I'm going to get on Google. I'm going to Google this message, and I'm going to start reading. I might have to read 30 pages to learn to decode and deal with this one silly message about why my computer isn't working properly. And so I'm building brain cells. I'm developing skills. Now, I'm blessed. My son is a computer nerd, and so when I have a problem, I can call Michael J., and he knows how to decode those things. He's got the brain cells for him. I call him, and I say, hey, I'm getting this message. And he goes, okay, just do this, and my computer's fixed. He's an expert at it. Now, his boss, I remember a couple of years ago, his boss is a friend, student of mine, and I was having a problem with my computer, and I literally went through the computer manufacturer. I spent hours on the phone, and they had no idea how to decode what the problem was. I called Graham, my son's boss back then. I said, Graham, I've got this and this and this happening. Now, this guy's a former NASA computer scientist, genius in the arena of computers. He said, oh, that's easy. Just go click, do, open this, do this, do that, and my computer works. He's got a skill level with computers that the manufacturer of the computer didn't have. He's spent the time, the energy, to be able to decode those things and understand how it works. Most people aren't willing to put 10 minutes into learning to decode their own internal messages, the messages that come from 1,000 generations, the rages, the fears, the guilts, the griefs, and the pains that run their lives. And if one isn't willing to take the time, you know, most people are like, well, you know, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Tell me everything you know. Excuse me. If you went to Yeshua, who said these words, the things I do, you can do and greater, and you said, okay, Yeshua, you raised people from the dead. I got 5 minutes and $5. Tell me how to do it. You know what Yeshua would say to you in his native Aramaic? He'd say, well, actually, Kerry, what you need to do is eat my body and drink my blood, which we'd go, that's what the Greeks translated as. What the heck does that mean? Well, it's actually an Aramaic idiom. And what it means is you're going to have to totally learn to digest what I know, the skills I have, the information I have about how your human biocomputer works and mine works. They all work the same way. And you're going to have to develop the skill to be able to do that. So if you really want to move in the direction of the level that you're talking about, you're going to have to become a Graham Gibson of your own biocomputer. As I say, this is the man who the manufacturer, the computer couldn't figure it out, and he did it without even turning on, without even looking up or doing any research. It was in his head. He just went click, 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 oh, just do this, 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 this. Computer worked. So we have in this body-mind unit a device that has been millions of years in development. It is a biocomputer that is 1,000 times beyond what any huge supercomputer has ever been developed or conceived of or thought about. And that supercomputer that you have is 1,000 times more complex than the biggest Cray on the planet. How many are willing to take the time out of their lives to develop the brain cells to decode what's going on with it and repair it? Not many. Now, I know you've spent the last 30 years of your life working in that direction, so you've got a leg up on most people, but that's exactly what's required. That's exactly what it takes. And so,
thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate really great overview and input, and giving me some more thoughts to move ahead with. Really appreciate it.
And just be patient with yourself. Be loving, gentle, and respectful with yourself, which may not be what your power person did, and therefore it may not be habitual for you, and you may have some work to do to be able to do that. And it takes time, it takes energy, it takes commitment, it takes work. And you know that we're here to support you, and we join you in doing your work. It's awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Very cool.
Pardon?
Excuse me. Gary, you had another thought for us?
No, I was going to say, you know, I know it's really close to the end of the show, and I realize there were a couple other people waiting, but since it's so close to the end, I'll just toss out this one other thought. The other day I happened to bump into and break a small family heirloom that was glass that belonged to a friend of mine. And I just panicked inside, and I thought, well, I could just put it back and blame it on somebody else, or I could, pretend it didn't happen or whatever. I went through all these things in my mind, and I remembered a time when I was a kid when I dropped a bottle of ginger ale on the floor in the garage carrying groceries in it, my dad just losing it. I kept going through in my mind the fast version of the worksheet, you know, like, okay, well, what do I – you know, feel like I want from this person, and can I give that up? And then what can I contribute to this? And by the time I was done working, doing that for a couple of hours, when I saw the person, they were just like, oh, it's no problem. We'll get some glass glue and we'll fix it. And, it's not the value in the item. It's just something that's meaningful to our family, and it'll be fine once it's fixed. And it's now fixed, and it was just amazing. So that's an example of that as things come up, you know, doing the process and knowing that it's taken me, just that one incident took me a huge, giant step. And my fear of just telling the truth because I had been so hammered as a child, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. And so, and not only when you look at it, if you look at the way your carbon-based memory wanted to set that scene up, it's not only the fear of telling the truth, it's the fear of letting yourself be aware of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, I mean, one of the biggest things that inhibits people in their process is that they use blockage of truth to manage their stress. And so your mind basically went into blockage of truth. Well, I could pretend it didn't happen. I could blame somebody else. So they are different mechanisms for blocking out the awareness of truth in your own mind. And when I can't be aware of truth in my own mind, then I can't work through what's under the surface of what's going on. And so the antidote, and that's why it's one of the key steps in the worksheet, the second step in the worksheet is, I choose to love truth. The antidote for blockage of truth is the awareness and the ability to step into what's really going on here instead of having to hide it
And we are down to just the last few seconds of the show, so we appreciate our conversations with you all the time when we get to have them. And you're in our prayers and in our support, and we'll look forward to the next time we get face-to-face. We hold y'all in the blessing. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.